Hey guys, I'm Tawny, founder of Sobriety Tea Party and Readings on Recovery.
And I'm Lisa, author of Girl Walks Out of a Bar. And welcome to our podcast,
Recovery Rocks. We're going to talk to you about everything from recovery to rock and roll to living in New York City.
We're going to talk about how we got sober, why we got sober, and how we stay sober.
Hey!
Welcome to Recovery Rocks.
I'm Tawny.
I'm Lisa.
And we're going to chat about family and friend dynamics changing.
And work.
Yeah, just relationships.
Changing. Yeah.
Relationship dynamics changing whilst in recovery.
Whilst in recovery. When we get sober, as we change up our lives,
yeah.
Those dynamics do change. I thought I would, it's Lisa, I will read a brief passage from my book, Girl Walks Out of a Bar, about what I experienced with this right out of detox. I got sober, I checked myself into a detox for 5 days, and I had been keeping everything a secret, so nobody really knew. And when I came out of the detox and started talking about it, I had no sober references. Like, I didn't know anybody who had gotten sober. I didn't know anyone in recovery. But I knew that I couldn't, you know, sort of go back right into my old life and the way I used to do things and the things I used to do, and certainly not drinking. And that changed my dynamics with my friends, because
while
my friends did not have the problem I had, they also, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, we go to the bar. Like, that was what we did. So this is a conversation I had with my friend Devin in the book, who is still one of my best friends. I'm actually going to see her tonight.
Oh, yay.
Yay. And this was sort of that first weekend. Everybody was being very protective of me, and we were on the phone. We were both in our offices. What are you doing this weekend? I asked, purely out of habit. Of course, I had a pretty good idea of the answer. She answered, tomorrow, probably just meet up with Jerry, David, and whoever else wants to come along for some drinks and maybe dinner after work. We both paused, and Devin added, do you want to join us? Can you do that? I answered, I guess I could. It's not like there's anywhere I'm not allowed to go, but they do tell you to stay away from situations where you used to drink, so I probably shouldn't. Maybe not this soon. My face felt hot and my throat clenched as if I might cry. How strange it was, talking about my new sober life with one of my best drinking buddies. I could feel an awkward distance between us, like when a girlfriend has a baby and then forgets how to talk to her single friends. So then, what are you going to do all weekend? She asked. Do you want me to come over instead? I knew she'd be happy to give up her plans and sit with me if I wanted it. No, that's okay, but thanks. Mark's around, so we'll probably order some food and watch a movie, I said. And there it was, my new normal. After almost 15 years of tearing it up from Friday to Sunday with my dearest, happiest, funniest friends, I would now watch and wave from the shore of a Friday afternoon as they sailed away on the good ship Party Time. What had I done to deserve this? Devin said, well, I'm really proud of you. This has to be really tough. Let's try to have dinner one night next week if that works for you. Thanks. Yeah, dinner next week would be great, I said as we hung up. I put my elbows on my desk and my face in my hands and thought, how much did that suck? I couldn't remember ever being on a phone call with Devin that ended with my feeling angry, but I was angry. I was angry about feeling left out because of a disease. Mm. I was angry that the fun wasn't about to slow down without me. I decided to dump all of this on the group. The group was the outpatient rehab group I went to.
Can I see that?
Yeah.
There's so many good nuggets in here.
But it really reflects, you know, like there's, even though, you know, she was still and still is one of my very closest friends, the dynamic changes.
It absolutely does.
And
how sober were you at this point again?
Like 2 weeks.
Like a week or two
probably. Yeah. It was right when I went back to work. It was like the first weekend that I was going to be home in the city in my apartment. And you know, I just knew that I couldn't, I mean, I could have gone out, but
why?
I knew if I did that, I was going to blow what I had just done getting sober. I knew I wasn't going to walk out of that bar without drinking, and I didn't want to drink. I mean, it had been a really bad run leading up to it. I felt done. I had been through a hellacious detox, And, you know, it was like, okay, it was decision time. Like, that's, I was lucky though, because my friends and family supported me. I mean, there were some things that I like to turn the screw in on, like when I went to my parents right after, and they were, you know, they were in shock on what I, how bad it had gotten, and you know, that I had gone to detox. But, you know, I had no compunction about being like, I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette now,
Wait,
you
you say
know?
compunction?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, I didn't have any reluctance,
Oh,
hesitation.
it's a good vocabulary
it is
word.
a good
Everyone use that in a
vocabulary.
sentence today.
Compunction.
I like that.
I hope I used it
Okay.
right now. Maybe
Oh.
I didn't. But so, you know, there was, and it was, I know it was hard for her too. It was hard for
Yeah.
me and it was hard for her. And sometimes I think in certainly in the early days, I felt like, you know, it was all about me and my whatever. But I didn't really think about, wow, me being sober has an impact on them. Like, how does it change? It's changing their lives too.
Well, and you not being sober, like us not being sober, also has an impact we
Yes.
don't realize at the time.
That's
Where
right. That's right.
I thought me binge drinking and doing drugs, and I thought that was just hurting me. But now in sobriety, I'm learning that it was hurting the people that I cared about too.
Right.
I just couldn't see it at the time, or I guess I probably just chose not to see it.
I take a meeting, a recovery meeting, to a detox now from time to time. And, you know, one of the women in there was talking. It just reminded me of this. She was sharing her story and she was like, I don't know why everybody put me in here. My daughter sent me here. I just like being with my grandkids and I like my crack. That's it. You know? And so it's like, okay, you like your crack. Why is everybody bothering me? That was her, you know, that was her feeling. And that's how we are. We don't, you know, I'm like, I'm not bothering anyone. I'm hurting myself.
And I guess that's the disease that's
Yeah.
telling us that,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
And many other things.
Yeah.
But I love so many things in this passage. But you were talking about like the anger you felt when you got off the
Yeah,
phone,
I was
like that
pissed.
feeling of FOMO of my life is literally completely different now.
Yeah.
Like, and what did I do to deserve this?
Right. And it was like there was, I remember being furious about alcohol when I was drinking because I was like, why does this thing rule my life? I hate that I can't get this under control. I hate that it rules my life. And then when I got sober and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't go do the things I like to do with the people I like to do them with. I'm like, why is this thing still ruling my life?
With or
With or
without?
without it, like it is, and now, you know, it does get better over time. It doesn't, and it doesn't necessarily get better because now it's like, oh, I love going out to the bars with my friends. I still don't do that, but I love all these other things that I gained,
Oh,
like all those
absolutely.
times that I was sitting in the bar, you know, or not doing something I would have liked to have done because I was so hungover from the night before, or not, you know. And now there are all these other facets to life that don't revolve around alcohol.
You're so right. We often look at it, or society looks at it as like, oh, you don't drink. So like, what do you do?
Right,
It's like
right.
you cut out this one thing, therefore
Right.
you what the hell are you gonna do for fun? But it's really just one thing.
It
I
is,
mean, if it's
right.
drugs
For me,
too,
right.
but it's just one
Right. That
thing,
whole
and it's
aspect of
cutting out
getting
that
messed
one
up. Yeah.
thing creates the space to do all this other stuff,
Right.
all this time that you're not hungover, all this money that you're not spending on booze.
Yeah.
I mean, ditching that one thing creates multiple things.
It's exponential. Like
It's
I always
like,
say, like, you know, I used to be the kind of person who sat on a bar stool going, I'm gonna write a book. And then
yes.
I got sober and I wrote a book. Like that's, you know, things change. So, but in that moment, right out of detox and just like a week or two sober, I couldn't see that yet.
Oh, of course.
Like now I don't get angry at all about the fact that I can't drink safely. I don't want to drink. But at that time, I felt angry.
And I mean, and that anger, do you still feel that at times? Or maybe it's a different feeling now.
Yeah, I don't know. I get, you know what I get angry at? And this is probably a topic for another day, but I get angry at the way that society tells us we should be drinking.
Yes, good
Constant. I
point.
feel like it's only getting worse. I feel like there's more and more evidence that it creates health problems, social problems, all kinds of problems, yet the messaging is only getting more intense. But we can talk about that
Yeah,
another
no.
time.
Oh, yeah. I was about to go off on that, but that was. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that. But it's like I love that you touched on like on that FOMO
Yeah.
of, and there are times when I'll feel that, occasionally.
Sure.
And it's to the point, I don't even miss getting shit faced. There's times when it's like, I want to go to a brewery and enjoy craft beer and learn about it. You know, I don't want to get messed up.
Yeah.
I just miss having a beer.
Yeah.
And I do, but I wouldn't say that I'm angry about it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's just something I just don't do anymore.
Well, that's, I wrote a piece about this once, that like about the drinks I never had. Like I was on vacation with a friend. We took a long weekend. We were in Miami and she, you know, ordered a mojito. I was years sober. I was like 10 years sober. And I was like, oh, mojito. Like I never got to try
that.
You know, like there are things when I see things that I'm like, oh, that's a thing. Like that would be a fun thing. But then I think about, first thing I have to think about is actually, I'm like, you know what? It would probably make my stomach sick. My head would feel dizzy.
It's so sweet.
Right. Like,
it's so sweet.
But whatever it is, you know, it's some sort of like cider that people are doing around the holidays or whatever it is.
Seasonal drinks. There's a lot now.
But I do look at those things sometimes and go, you know, oh, it would have been nice to try that. But then I will try something. I will treat myself with something else instead, like a gingerbread latte or, you know, something that I wouldn't have allowed myself to have before because it would have been the calories.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about your friends, your family, was everybody supportive or did your relationships, were people not supportive?
I wouldn't say everybody was supportive. I would say I'm very blessed that the majority of my family, all of my family, luckily, has been very supportive of my sobriety. And the majority of my friends have been. And I say friends because I've had to redefine what that word means.
Yes.
In sobriety. A lot of my drinking buddies are not my friends. And I've learned that. And that was a tough... let's say tough pill to swallow, but maybe not.
But it's weird, right?
It's like weird.
They just disappear.
Because I was, you know, I bartended and I worked in the restaurant industry and bartended for like 12, 13 years. So the majority of, you know, who I thought my friends were, now I look back and it's like, that's all we had in common was getting shit faced.
Right.
And complaining about stuff.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And I'm not in that headspace anymore.
I know.
And of course I still complain about things, but I find that in sobriety I have less to complain about because I feel more empowered and I'm more in control of my life. I'm just a happier person.
Yeah.
And I'm more productive. There's just a lot of, you know, those are the things that I've gained because I gave up that one thing.
Yeah.
And I will say my relationship with myself has changed tremendously. And I think once you work on, or once I started working on that relationship with myself, with support groups, with therapy, with blogging about it, with connecting with people like you, that has allowed me to be a more confident and stable person, a more confident and more stable daughter, niece, friend, girlfriend. So taking care of myself and my sobriety creates the space for me to be just a better other half of the relationship, whatever that relationship is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's totally true. And it's you compare, or I found that I started comparing it to, you know, before, like anything that happens now, you know, and obviously like the relationships change, and another place it changes at work.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's funny. I work with a lot of partners over the years in firms and in law firms. And, you know, one day I was prepping a partner for a presentation that she had to give, and she was very nervous and whatever. And I said to her, I was like, listen, you got this. You've done this 100 times. These people are all here to hear you because they respect you and they like what you have to say and they want to learn from you. It's all good. This is, you're fine with this. And she looked at me, she was like, you know, I really appreciate that you always kind of calm me down. Mm. And at the time, I was not open about being in recovery. But what I wanted to say was, you know what? Any day that doesn't start with me crawling around the bottom naked of my closet looking for a bag of drugs, like, what could be so bad? You know?
It's a good point.
Like, it's all relative. Like, it becomes, having gone through what we dealt with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the debasing and the real fear of really bad stuff around the corner, the everyday stuff, is not as, just never seems as terrible.
Or at least manageable.
Yes. Yes. I got a question on this topic.
What is it, Lisa?
I received a question on this topic from a listener, which was great, asking specifically about like what do you do when you have to be around toxic environments, toxic people. This particular person is a bartender.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I know a lot of bartenders in recovery. I see them, you know, I know them in 12-step meetings, and they do it. I don't know that I could. That's a hard thing. You were a bartender.
Well, were you ever a bartender?
No, I was a cocktail waitress, though.
So I loved bartending. I loved the social aspect. I loved how much money I was making. And I liked the mixology. I liked the science behind it, learning that, you know, you mix all this stuff together and it tastes like this. I think that's interesting. I don't know if I could do that for like a career again, but I, like, if someone was like, hey, can you bartend this wedding? I'll pay you $200. I'd be like, yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, I could do that. But I know some sober bartenders as well. And I think it's interesting. Because it's,
you're at work.
You're at work, but it's also like when you're going through such a big life change, like getting sober.
Yeah,
switching your career is a
Gosh.
Be really challenging.
Really
so
bad.
It's like
yeah,
it could almost be easier to stay in that bar scene because it's safe, it's comfortable.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it that way.
I feel safe and comfortable in a bar because I bartended for so long. I grew up going to heavy metal shows and bars. So I was on the server end of the bar more than I was on the partying end of the bar.
Right, right.
So I'm actually quite comfortable being over there. But then there's this threshold. Once someone, I call it the blaze. Once I'm out with my friends and they're in a bar and there's this glaze over their eyes, like once they've had like that drink that takes them to the next level, I'm like, all right,
we're done.
Love you. See you tomorrow. I can't be here anymore. But if like, I'll go have a club soda or I drink non-alcoholic beer if they have it.
Right.
If it's a friend's birthday, I'll go for a drink and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Love you. Bye. But I'm very grateful to have supportive friends that know Tawny's sober. She may not come.
Yeah.
If she does, she might leave after 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like there's a way to prepare for that, right? If you're going to be stepping into that bar or if, you know, you're going, if you are a sober person, you're going to tend bar or you're a sober person like me and you're going into an office environment where there can be toxicity, you know, off the charts, that you prepare and that you, you know, that's part of at least in 12-step, like why you have a spiritual program. Like the idea is that, you know, I can go anywhere. I can go to a bar. I can go to wherever I want. It all, how I feel and whether or not I, you know, am tempted to pick up a drink or do pick up a drink or anything and how I deal with that and treat that is dependent on sort of my spiritual condition. Mm. Am I in a good place? If I'm feeling, you know, solid and I feel good and I'm not, you know, feeling any of, say, the hot things like hungry, angry, lonely, tired, then I could probably roll right in and roll right out and feel fine. I don't want like the emotional hangover that comes with toxicity and toxic environments to me, like at work.
That's a thing. Emotional hangovers are definitely a thing.
Yeah, and it can be very hard to deal with. But I think, yeah, I always wonder for people who are sober and work in bars, like, is it sort of like how they say, well, you know, if you worked at the ice cream store, you'd get sick of ice cream. Or if you worked at the bakery, you'd get sick of donuts. And I'm always like, no, I don't think I would get sick of ice cream or donuts. You know, I don't know how well that would hold for me, but
I'd love to work in an ice cream shop.
But I think if you are if you have to, and I know this for me going into an office that can be pretty challenging and some really difficult conversations and things like that, you know, if I am in a good place personally, if I feel pretty good, if I got up in the morning and for me, it's things like, you know, a lot of people in 12-step, you know, wake up in the morning and the first thing they do is pray. And I'll be honest, I'm not good at doing that. But what I do every morning that I just find I do automatically is I look up at the sky and I say, thank you.
Oh,
and
I love that.
It's the first thing I do all the time. Like, thank you. Okay, I'm grateful. I'm here. I put 2 feet on the ground. I didn't drink yesterday. And if I can stay in that as I go to work, then it's then I can handle that. And also looking out beyond, you know, like, well, what's the next goal? Maybe I don't want to be in this job forever. Maybe I don't want to be a bartender forever, but I'm going to stay here for a year while I get my feet under me or whatever it is.
Yeah. And that I like that your friend that's your bartender friend that submitted that question, because it's got to be tough to be sober working in a bar.
Yeah.
But also, just like piggybacking off of, like you said, working in the ice cream shop, whatever. I just find drunk people so unattractive now.
Yeah, well, that's really true.
I could see that, like, bartending sober could almost be like a reminder of, like, yes, I don't want to look like that.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. All of a sudden,
not to judge
its appeal,
but
no, but
it's like, if you're shit faced, it's not attractive. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry, not sorry. It just doesn't. It's never gonna look good.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look, no matter how hot you are. It's just slurring words and like glossy eyes, stumbling.
Swaying.
It's just it's not sexy.
Yeah, not that we always have to be sexy, but it's actively unappealing.
But we do we're always sexy. We don't have to be, but you and I, it just happens.
It
just happens. But
I love you.
There's another question that I got on there is how to deal with unsupportive.
Right.
Unsupportive.
I want to hear about that.
Let me read it.
I didn't really run into that.
How to deal with unsupportive friends and family members that you can't cut off. That can lead to, again, toxicity.
Yeah.
So I think, obviously, to deal with any of this, you should listen to Toxic by Britney Spears, and then you should listen to Toxic by System of a Down to just mentally prepare yourself.
Yeah.
And then you can deal with the toxic friends.
That's right. Maybe throw in a little, like, Paint It Black, a little Stones kind of depression, pissed off at the world thing.
That'll work, too.
Yeah.
I will say I have experienced... I guess you could call it unsupportive, but some of people that I used to party with that I was friends with, some were friends, some were just drinking buddies. I'm learning to discern the difference, and some were actually good friends but we grew apart because of alcohol too.
Yeah.
And
a
friend of mine actually accused me on Facebook
of
saying that my blog was a lie. Saying that I was full of shit.
You told me this, yeah. That was so terrible.
Yeah, I didn't know any of this was happening. Then I log into Facebook like a day or two later, and all of these people were like defending me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. And one person even commented, even if Tawny was making all of this up, that means she's a great fiction writer and she's still helping people.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I like that.
That's good.
But then this person who accused me, she ended up deleting me from Facebook, but then sending me a private message saying, I'm sorry for calling you out like that. I've realized that you being outspoken about being in recovery and having a drinking problem, that a lot of that was when we were drinking together, and it's hard for me to admit that I had a problem back then too.
Well, that
and I'm like, why couldn't you have posted that on Facebook?
Right,
why is this
right.
a private message? Then you accuse me
right
publicly. But whatever, we agreed to go our separate ways, and
but it demonstrates that it's not necessarily about you, it's about the other person.
It's
right.
It's usually about the other person.
And how they feel about themselves or drinking. And that goes back to what we started with, talking about how we were, you know, like me, when I read in that reading that I did, like, it was like, poor me, I can't go out, I'm so angry. I wasn't thinking about what my not drinking, what that impact had on Devin and what that was making her feel like in that moment. And it sounds like when your friend did that, you know, she was knee-jerk reacting and then later reflected on it and realized, oh, you know, this is where it came from. And right, nice that she did that, but she should have corrected. I mean, I think it would have been only right to,
well,
if you're gonna call somebody out publicly, you should apologize to them publicly.
Absolutely. But it was what it was. And something I have actually learned in these, I've been sober for 3 years now, I've learned that people that either use sobriety as a punchline or tease you for being sober or have an issue with sobriety or recovery in general, those are the people that have that are on the spectrum of some sort of addiction.
Well, then it's hitting them. It's striking a nerve somewhere in there.
It is.
It definitely is. It's their discomfort with your sobriety,
and that they're projecting that.
Yes.
And then seeing
yes.
you
yes.
being thriving and happy and
yes.
and high functioning now
yes.
that you're sober, that's a mirror to them of like, holy shit, I'm not like that.
Right.
And so I have to remind myself of to not take it personally, because it's not about
not
me
personal.
At that point.
It's not. Right. Right.
It's yeah. And that was a tough thing to
yeah.
learn.
Yeah, yeah. And I really think that a lot of people have in their head like getting sober means the end of my life, and then they see you go on and do something that is clearly not the end of,
yeah.
of your life, and it's a tougher pill to swallow. So yeah. So I think obviously our relationships do change.
They do,
and
usually for the better.
Usually for the better, but there are times that we have to work through it to get to that better place. And
mm-hmm.
there are some people who just aren't going to get there, and that's okay too. We just have to accept that and
know that it's okay to cut out toxic folks.
It's totally okay.
I mean, you've got to take care of yourself
you
first.
You have to protect yourself first.
If there's people in your life that are not supportive of your recovery, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's not someone
yeah.
that
saving your life.
They yeah. don't need to be in your life. They're clearly going through their own shit. So
yeah.
if cut them out however you need to. I mean, I don't even know how to cut. I feel like those situations kind of naturally
they do.
Fade.
They
fizzle.
They typically do. They typically do.
They kind of
and
organically
and I think just
fizzle
showing
out.
Compassion and, what do they say, detaching with love is
yeah.
it's the way to do it. So let us know what you think.
And just please don't detach. From me.
I would never detach from you. You're not toxic.
I'm just so codependent. I need you.
I'm completely codependent on you. That'll be another episode we do
yeah,
on our own codependency.
We shouldn't joke about codependency, because that's
we're walking that line.
That's a real thing. Codependency
no,
is
a it
thing.
Is. Of course it is. We'll talk about that one.
Yeah.
But let us know what you think about any of this stuff. Should we
yeah.
talk? And yeah, we'll put codependency on our list.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that next.
So thank you for listening, and send us questions.
Yes.
Or comments.
And subscribe.
Subscribe. We would love to hear from you guys. If anybody wants to ask questions, have any discussion, comments, weigh in, you can find me at Girl Walks Out on Twitter, on Instagram, and my website is lisasmithauthor.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Tawny M. Lara, and my website is tawnylara.com. And my blog you can find at sobrietyparty.com.
That's right.
T-E-A.